Good morning to each one this morning, and may the blessing of God rest upon us as we are together. I trust that you have been blessed, as I have been blessed already, in this service. I'd like to just mention a couple things personally before going into the message. I thought it probably only fair that I let the congregation know that Elsie and I plan to be gone for about 4 weeks, leaving on Tuesday. In case you're wondering, this is part of the pre-nuptial agreement, and so I need to fulfill that. So we plan to spend most of that time in Arkansas, not quite all of it. But appreciate your interest in your prayers while we're gone. The other thing I might mention, if anybody wanders out through the gym, we've got a number of things there for the family to look through today, and I would appreciate if children would not go in there after the service, and particularly to be throwing balls around. Actually, you don't need to be in there at all, as far as I'm concerned. But just thought I would mention that as a precaution. Appreciate that. All right, thank you. I'd like this morning to consider a few words from John 15. Sometimes children like to play a what-if game. What if this and what if that? And so this morning I would actually like to use a phrase that Jesus used, that maybe he didn't necessarily use it in the connotation that I'm thinking this morning, but I think it bears thought. In John 15, verse 22, the first part of the verse says, "If I had not come." He says there, if I had not come, people would not have known their sin. They wouldn't have known the way of righteousness if he had not come. And so, once again, we are in the season of the year where we commemorate the birth of Jesus. No one knows for sure exactly the exact date of his birth, but December 25th has been generally accepted as a date of commemoration, I guess I might say. And the exact date is not so important. In fact, there's probably a reason why we don't have the actual time that this took place. But it does not change the fact. I don't care if it's December 21st or June 1st or October, whatever. It does not change the fact that Jesus came. You know, sometimes at Christmas time, there are those that say that the birth of Jesus really isn't that important, but rather it's a work of Christ upon the cross of Calvary and his resurrection that brings salvation, that this is the most important part, and the birth is a means to an end. But you know, even though the cross and the empty tomb are vitally important to our salvation, and I suppose this would be debatable, but I have to wonder if perhaps the birth of Jesus is the greatest miracle of all time. Can you explain to me, how is it possible that God, that created the world, could become man? How could the Creator take on the form of sinful man and still be God? One verse I was thinking about the last week or two quite a bit. In 1 Timothy 3:16, it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." And it goes on and says some other things. He was seen of spirits and so on. But without controversy, it is a great mystery that God was manifest in the flesh. And so if it had not been for the incarnation, and in case some of you children wonder what incarnation means, that means God becoming man. If it had not been for the incarnation of Christ, the work of salvation had been impossible. And so the whole story of Jesus, from his birth to his ascension, is vital to our salvation. And so this morning I would like to emphasize the fact that I believe His birth was important. That God came to dwell with us. And there's a word that is used, it was used as a prophecy in Isaiah a couple times. And it was a word that the angel gave to Joseph, and that is the word Emmanuel. I'm going to read from Matthew 1, verses 20 to 23. And this is talking of Joseph, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And so God himself came in the form of human flesh. And Brother Dan read, you know, that which was from the beginning. And in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so our text phrase this morning poses a question of great magnitude. What if he had not come? What if he had not been born in the stable those many years ago? What if he had refused to come to save us? What if he had planned to come, but just neglected and put it off and didn't have time? What if the Son of God did not care for my soul and would not have been willing to come and take upon him and humiliate himself in the form of sinful flesh? I kind of let my mind wander a little bit, and you probably have done so too, but we don't know the extent of how the world today, well, probably wouldn't even be standing, I don't know, but how would it have been affected if Jesus had never come? I'm sure there'd be a tremendous difference. There's so many things that we take for granted from the influence of the life and death of Jesus. Thinking a little bit about the story of his birth. You know, if there had been no birth over 2,000 years ago, we wouldn't have this beautiful story that we enjoy today. Think how different life would have been for those who were closely involved. You know, I believe that Joseph and Mary were a young couple. They were God-fearing. They were righteous. And they loved each other, and they were planning on getting married, and I'm sure their plans involved having a normal home life. That they would love one another, that they would perhaps have children, that they could live together in peace and in harmony. I don't suppose their courtship was any different than any of other couples around them. And they looked forward to a happy home, where there would be love and peace and contentment. And they had plans and they had goals as any other young couple had. But suddenly, through the appearance and announcement of an angel, their lives were changed, never to be the same. Never to know married life apart from this heavenly guest that was to live in their home. Yes, if Jesus had not come, life would have been different for Joseph and Mary. They wouldn't have had to flee to Egypt for safety. They would not have had to be concerned when Jesus was stayed back in Jerusalem and was talking to the doctors and lawyers while they were traveling home. Mary would not have had to suffer the pangs of pain within her heart for this son who was so cruelly and brutally treated. If he had not come, that long night had passed without event to those shepherds on the hillside. that great announcement of glory to God on high and the scepter of peace to earth would have never been given. Simeon and Anna would have continued to look for the Messiah, but in vain. The wise men would have continued to study the stars, but without any significant change in their pattern and formation. There would have not been the slaying of the children by Herod. There would not have been the grief of those mothers as they saw their babes being taken from them and killed by the soldiers of Herod. It says that Rachel weeping for her children would not be comforted because they are not. Yes, one of the most beautiful stories of all time would not have been told had he not come. But you know, this event was important enough in the sight of God the Father that he dispatched a host of heavenly beings to announce it. Now, you know, when there's a baby born in our circles, there's joy and there's happiness, and probably one of the first things we do is get on the phone, maybe to grandpa and grandma and uncles and aunts and anybody else, you know, and anybody that will listen will tell them of the joy of this newborn. There's rejoicing. I was reading how that when Queen Elizabeth had her third child, there was 128 cables sent to all parts of the world, and that the lights in Buckingham Palace and the Home Office and the Foreign Office, whatever all those are, they burned all night long, and there were double the people at the switchboards to take all of the incoming calls. There was excitement throughout the whole British Empire. But you know, when God's Son was born, there was a lot of difference. There weren't a lot of cables, there weren't phone calls made, but there was a dispatch of a heavenly host to announce this to just a few people on the hillside there. Well, I suppose I was supposed to have. Well, I hope my desk enjoys my poems. I can't seem to locate them here, but that's all right. You know, I've often wondered what the thoughts of Joseph and Mary were as they looked at that tiny bundle. We know how precious it is to see a newborn. You know, and if there's ever a time that it seems like there's a direct line to heaven, it's when there's a little baby that's just been born. When one looks the first time in the face of a newborn baby, there is awe and there is wonder as we contemplate that here is a child that has been born that is going to live forever. How would it be if you held in your arms a little baby that always had been and always will be and is God? You know, we look at those precious features of those perfect features in a baby. What wonder and amazement must have come over Joseph and Mary as they held that little one in their arms. And I was just thinking this morning that Mary checked to make sure that baby had 10 fingers and 10 toes, as a lot of mothers do, just to marvel at the perfection of that baby. But they knew this child was a gift from heaven. They had been told that this child was conceived of the Holy Ghost, and that this child was God's Son, and that this was God Himself. You know how it must have caused joy and contemplation as they looked into the face of this one who had been promised for millenniums. To the one who would save His people from their sins. To the one who was Emmanuel. Yes, if Jesus had not come, the world would be missing a story of hope and peace and joy and love. And the lives of those that were close to Him would have never been touched with that heavenly influence. Now, while we're thinking of some of the what-ifs let's think a little bit of a Christless world. Now, I think here in America, I mean, we people are not that, what would you say? They're not that full of the knowledge of Christ and so on, and yet there's many things in the world in which we live that are a direct result of the influence of the life of Jesus. Now, we could probably go to some heathen lands, maybe that have never heard of Jesus, and maybe we get a little picture of what a Christless world would be. But have you ever tried to visualize a world without Christian influence? And we know that there are those who want nothing to do with Jesus of Nazareth. But what kind of a world would they be in if suddenly they would step out of a world that had no influence of Jesus Christ? The story is told of a little girl who had a village, a play village that she liked to set up. And she would be setting this up different times. And so one day she set it up and her father came in and said, what kind of village is this? Well, she said, it's a Christian village. Oh. He said, well, suppose that it was not a Christian village, what would you have to take out of this little town? Oh, she said, a church. And so she took the church out. Her father said, well, is that all? Well, that's all she could think of. He said, well, you know, actually, there's some other things that's going to have to go. You better take the hospital out, because Jesus is the one that came to heal. And you know, if you think about it, it seems like when Christians go into a certain area, one of the first things they do is try to meet some of the medical needs of people. And so the hospital would need to go. The school would probably have to go. Maybe the library would have to go. Maybe the old folks' home would have to go. There's just a lot of what we call just normal institutions that have a lot of basis for what Jesus, the ministry that Jesus had. And so we know that even though sin is running rampant in the land in which we live, we know that there's a disdain for God and His Word. And we know that men and women are running headlong into degradation. It's not because they don't have a choice, but it's because they have not taken the way of the gospel message. But you know, even with sin running rampant, we as followers of Jesus can rest in the fact that truth and right will prevail. And someday, all sin will cease and come under the power of Jesus Christ, some to life everlasting and some to eternal damnation. I've listed a number of things, and maybe you would think of other things, and that's all right. But I've listed a number of things, how it could affect us if He had not come. If Jesus had not come, there would be no convicting power of the Holy Spirit. I suppose you could do as you please. There would be no restraining force. There would be no conscience to bother you when you do wrong. Or would there be a wrong? Maybe there wouldn't even be wrong. Wouldn't be right and wrong. I believe that would be another thing. There would really be no sense of right and wrong. You know, Christ is our standard of righteousness. And so there would be, I was going to say lawlessness, but maybe there wouldn't even be laws to break. Probably there would be jails, but jails would hold those who went contrary to the majority thinking of people, and probably not necessarily contrary to moral principles. If Jesus had not come, the faith of the Old Testament saints would have been in vain. All those sacrifices that were sacrificed on the altars there would have been in vain. What a disappointment to the Old Testament saints if God had not kept His promise. And there would be no faith today. Superstition would run rampant. If Jesus had not come, there would be no church. There would be no family of God. There would be no feeling of closeness and kinship between spiritual brothers and sisters. If He had not come, we would not know of compassion. There would be no comfort for suffering or pity for the afflicted. There would be no mutual burden bearing and sharing as we enjoy. If Jesus had not come, there would be no or little regard for the rights of others. It would be survival of the fittest. You know, it's taken the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to do away with slavery, to restore women to their rightful place. And Christ has changed men's lives through changed hearts. Jesus was a redeemer, not a reformer. And so he came and changed men's lives. It's interesting, some of the discussion there in Sunday school class, you know, as far as repentance and did they have a concept of that before and so on. All right? If he had not come, true knowledge would be limited because Jesus himself is wisdom. If he had not come, we would live in a world without hope, nothing to look forward to, no reason to look into the future, just a world of pessimism. There would be no spirituality, only a thick darkness. Blinded eyes that cannot see, devoted to idolatry and devil worship. If he had not come, there would be no moral precepts. Or if there were some thinking along that line, it would really be meaningless. There would be no meaning to life. There would be no goals. These are just some of the things that came to my mind. And you know, we could go on and we could try to visualize a world without Christ, a Christless world. What darkness, what desolation, what misery, what utter hopelessness. And I believe that even the most hardened sinner in this world enjoys benefits that have come because of the coming of Jesus. And so we could go on and try to imagine the unimaginable. But the fact remains that Jesus did come. And it was a blessing to me to look at a number of scriptures where Jesus says, I come, or I have come, or I came. And all of the reasons that he came are profound. So profound that theologians can hardly comprehend them. And yet the reason for his coming is so simple that even a child can understand it. So I'm going to just go down through a number of scriptures. Don't need to turn to these. And some of them I've just picked out a phrase or two, but it's a blessing to me. In Matthew 9:13, Jesus said, I am come to call sinners to repentance. I am come. Not if I had I not come, but I am come. And so if Jesus had not come, we would not have known that he would live a sinless life and give us power over sin. He came to call the sinners to repentance. Luke 19:10 says, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Had he not come, we might not even know of our lost condition. But you know, we were as sheep out on a cold mountain, and he came and he found us to seek and to save that which was lost. In John 5:43, he says, I am come in my Father's name. Now that's interesting. Jesus didn't come just to do his own will, he said, but he came to do the will of the Father. And so I am come to represent, to be the representative of my Father. I am heaven's representative of my Father. Matthew 5:17, I am come to fulfill the law. And we talked about that a little bit already, that the Old Testament saints look forward to this. And so that was one reason why Jesus came. He says, I'm come so that the law could be fulfilled, so that the faith of the saints of the past could be fulfilled. And so, you know, if he had not come, all the rituals and all the thousands of bullocks and sheep and so on that were offered would have been in vain, to no avail. Mark 1:38 says, I came to preach. Going on a little bit further with that same thought, we find in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And so Jesus said, I came to preach. And then later here, he gives some of the things that he came to preach about. Gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee. John 9:39 says, for judgment am I come into this world. So he came into this world for judgment. Now maybe we don't like the sound of that, but you know, Jesus is the only one that knows the hearts. He's the only one that can make righteous judgment. In John 18:37, these were words that Jesus said to Pilate when he was on trial. He said, to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And so he said, I came to the world to bear witness to the truth. I came to the world for this moment to stand before you, Pilate, because I'm giving my life for the life, for the salvation of souls. 1 John 1:17 says, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so, for the reason that he says, I am come that I should bear witness unto the truth. Another one in John 12:46, I am come a light into the world. You know how dark the world is without light. You've probably heard this illustration before, but it struck me anew. Of a artist who drew a winter picture. And the trees were laden with snow. It was dark, it was dreary, it was lonely. There was a house that he drew there. It was desolate. And it was in the midst of a dark storm. And then with one little stroke of yellow, he changed the scene. There was light in the window, and it transformed the whole landscape. And you know, so it is with Jesus. We're in a dark world, and Jesus came to a dark world. And the world did not want to know him because they loved darkness. But that one little, and I say little, but that one little stroke of light changed the whole scene. I had to think of that song. Oh, to have no Christ, no Savior, how dark this world must be. Thinking of Jesus coming as a light into the world, he doesn't here say necessarily, I am come that, but there's two that I think of. One is, I am the way. And so Jesus came as the way to show us the way back to God, to show us the way to the Father. And so that's the reason he came. Another reason he came, he said, I am the bread of life. He feeds us. And he's a good shepherd. He leads us. And he leads us into green pastures. One more that I have listed here in John 10:10. I am come, he said, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so I thank God for eternal life. And that without Jesus, this life would have never come. So all we have to look forward to is all we would have to look forward to is certain death and punishment and banishment from God if Jesus had not come. Yes, if Jesus had not come, things would be different. But Jesus did come. And I trust that we have seen the reason for that. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's all that I have this morning. I'm going to ask for a song. And since we have a little bit of time, I'll just open it up if anyone has a testimony, something that they'd like to share this morning. We don't have to take all the time, but if you have something, we do have a little opportunity here. Let's have a closing song.